But first on PM, dawn is approaching in Boston, where locals have endured a nervous night after two bomb blasts killed three and injured well over 100 more spectators and participants in the city's famed marathon. As the FBI commenced its examination of the attack by declaring it as a potential terrorism investigation, local police told people to reach their own conclusions about whether detonating bombs that were clearly designed to maim and kill amounted to a terror attack. More on the hunt for the perpetrator or perpetrators in a moment, but first let's go to Boston for the latest from our North America correspondent there, Ben Knight. Ben, given the number injured and the crowd that can be seen in the television pictures of the blasts, you might have imagined the death toll could have been far higher. Is it still at three? And how life-threatening are the injuries, do we know, among the other casualties?
Well, yes, Tim, as far as we know, the death toll does still stand at three. The injuries appear to have been to the lower limbs, and that's based on the obviously what people saw at the site, but also the nature of the explosives themselves. They were, I guess, relatively small compared to the kind of bombs that you would see in a large-scale terrorist attack, such as you saw in London or Madrid, for example. But they obviously did a lot of damage in the area that they were. Now, the hospital's talking about a number of amputations that they've had to perform, but there are other injuries as well, lots of shrapnel wounds, head injuries and those sorts of things. But certainly, while there are a large number of injured, so far only three dead, and that number appears to be stable.
Ben, I don't know how close you've been able to get to the scene of the attacks, but it's the early hours of the morning now. As night fell, what was the city like and what was the mood of Boston as you saw it?
Well, a lot of it was cordoned off. I mean, at the moment, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the bomb site itself is still very, very heavily cordoned off, as you can imagine. There's still a really significant police presence here. But when I first got here this afternoon, local time, it was very much a city that looked like it had just had a major terror attack. There were police cars, fire trucks, ambulances, Humvees. The National Guard was on the street. The hotels were being guarded by SWAT teams with your full automatic rifles and full military combat gear, and they were everywhere. Yellow tape ringed not only the area around the finish line and the explosion, but also for blocks around. And what was happening was that police were going through, and as you can imagine, when you have an unknown number of bombs, an unknown number of what appear to be smallish bombs, any package or any item that couldn't be identified or accounted for was regarded as suspicious. So they were going through and trying to make sure that the area was clear. And as far as I know, that is still going on, because there is a large part of this central part of Boston that's still taped off, not just for a crime scene, but for safety.
Well, you're an outsider, of course, arriving in Boston. Were people being checked as they moved around the city and went in and out of those hotels?
Look, a lot of security as you go in and out of the hotels, obviously. But the people who were walking around were people who had been running in the marathon. Now, bear in mind, this is hours after the marathon had started. And even then, it was some hours after the explosion itself. And night was falling. But you saw people going around in their running gear with those plastic blankets that they give the runners once they've finished the event. And I couldn't work out why they were still there or why they were still walking around. Well, I spoke with a few of them. They said it was because they'd been evacuated when the explosion went off, and they had to go so far out of the city, they had to get right away. So they were then coming back to try and get back to the hotels, which in some cases they couldn't get into because they'd just gone into lockdown, or they'd missed their flight and they were wandering around trying to find a place to stay or trying to catch up with people who they'd been separated from or find their belongings or anything. So they were the runners. Many of them were visitors, but the locals who'd been shutting themselves in their houses and apartments all afternoon for safety were just starting to emerge and really struggling to comprehend what had happened and what they were seeing.
Ben, you described the possible size of the bomb in relation to other major terror attacks elsewhere, but has there been any information as to the type of bomb or whether it was planted or carried into the crowd or indeed how it was detonated?
Nothing along those lines, other than it appears to be, or they appear to have been, relatively crude. As I say, if you compare it to the large-scale explosions that you've seen in other major attacks in other major cities, they appear to have had gunpowder, ball bearings and shrapnel, and although they did a lot of damage, relatively small in scale. Now, what's not known is how many of them were actually planted. Two of them detonated. We understand that there was another one that was located shortly after, a similar distance away, which was deactivated or detonated by the authorities, and even that a fourth one had been located and it was deactivated. So obviously the search is still going on to see how many of those are around. So pretty crude, but obviously designed to maim, and they were very effective at doing that.
Our North America correspondent, Ben Knight.